All right, let's continue on just a bit for our listeners on the web. So let's talk more about the numbers. Dave, my guess is you have something to say about these numbers, or there was something that we didn't cover that you wanted to make sure you got out today. What was it?
I think taking a look at what's happening in the wheat situation, I think in Europe we've had situations where they've imported quite a bit of other feed grains that's come in, which freed up maybe some wheat stocks, and any freeing up of any old crop situations makes that be a situation, a very volatile, extremely volatile market. But you're seeing a tremendous amount of bear spreading where guys are selling the nearby and buying the deferreds anyway as a way of taking advantage of that. And I think that's boosting up July wheat futures in that particular situation. And
artificially so.
Somewhat artificially. And I think there's a potential. I think right now with the stocks as tight as they are in the world, you know, you never know. Are we going to see a freeze like we did last year, or something that's going to happen with the crop? But once you get confirmation that that crop is there and you can see a quote unquote normal crop, I think you could kill the wheat market. But that's everybody thought that this last year though too. So,
when you look at your wheat though, you look at the export sales. We've already met 83% of our export goal, and we're 3 months in, so it's not the function the market's gone so high that we've slowed demand. We've seen panic buying. Everybody's pretty well bought up. Yeah. So most countries are getting fairly comfortable. There's still more buying to come. And two, with wheat so high, the cheapest commodity right now, in our opinion, is corn. So in some areas, instead of feeding wheat, you'll come in and feed corn as a replacement. So not only may you take a short spec position in the upfront wheat, but you could probably buy some corn against it, and that's probably why that spread might be popular here for a while, at least going into the first part of December.
And maybe why USDA raised exports for corn for the coming year?
Yeah, Friday morning we saw 90 million bushel sale in the weekly export sales report. But, you know, if you're a buyer, typically when do you make the lows and what happened last year? And we feel we're going to see some demand come forward here, at least from now until year end.
Given that demand, what's the top end of the market? I mean, has the wheat put a top end into the market, or will corn rebound on its own for other reasons? And I guess the only reason I can look at the moment is the export demand reason, potentially.
If you're looking at some benchmarks on the futures, we feel, you know, if demand can stay strong and we can move higher and through here, December futures could probably rally back up into this 370, 380 area basis futures. Probably your biggest gain is going to be in the cash market as the basis starts to narrow here between now and year end. In order to go much higher here, you're going to have to see some more anxiety about buying acres next year. The Dease 08 corn, if we start to hear inklings of 4 to 5 million less corn acres, you could probably run Dease 08 futures on up to that 445 area.
Hmm. Anybody else want to take a stab at the top end of it, Matt? Or
I feel that right now Dease 08 is about 30 cents too cheap. You might be able to get to that 440. I don't see any more past 440 range, but I think you can easily get to about 425 to 430. You're going to lose some acres, but you also need to ensure that you're going to get not too many acres. You're going to go to beans and wheat.
Yeah, once you get to that level, maybe, Kurt. And, I guess, Dave, what's your top end on this first?
I think you could add another 50 cents anyway, potentially, and I see the volatility happening, and once you get it, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to hold it type of thing, but I think you can scare the market in there. I think it might be scared by soybeans more than anything, the fear of soybeans, and if soybeans bump up, and all of a sudden that pushes corn as well, too, and until we can get some confirmation that crop's not going to be in trouble the next year.
When do you start making 08 sales? For corn, or beans.
You know, personally, I think you have to give yourself a scale up type approach anyway, because you know ultimately in the end, I don't know. I'm not so sure that $4 corn being sold is a bad deal off of this thing. It just means that you maybe have other opportunities to get it off at a little bit higher levels. But I think the biggest thing that surprised me in the corn market is just the fact that, you know, when I've spent a lot of time out in the country anyway, I'm amazed at how many acres in the south and in areas that are not the heart of the belt that we picked up a lot of acres last year. A lot of these guys were massive plant corn for this or that. And those guys aren't doing it this year. They're not seeing the corn on corn. And I think the natural rotation is to go out of corn. So corn, you know, was always, you know, $50 to $70 an acre advantage to plant corn in past years. And now you have maybe just a little bit of advantage to plant corn even across the belt. And I do think across the heart of the belt, a lot of those guys will stay corn on corn. But there's going to be a certain amount of those acres that are going to be in rough areas and those type of things. I think guys are going to switch them back to beans. If the corn market doesn't like that and sees demand coming from export or other those type of things, that's when you start freaking as to as easily as you have gained that many acres last year, you could easily lose a good chunk of them.
The 8,000 extra acres that were put in the ground, did you get a look at where they came from this time around and in the outside areas, not in the middle of the belt, I don't think, if I remember correctly from those numbers? And what's the likelihood that they would do corn on corn in areas that are outside of the Midwestern Corn Belt? And how quickly will those fall to, I suppose they went probably back to wheat, those out west, and maybe even some of them in the southwest too, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, you know, there's a whole, you know, farmer discussions is they're looking for excuse to cut back on corn and input costs, but naturally, the Western guys, Kansas, Nebraska, they put the pencil to it. They said they're just plain crazy not putting more wheat in. And I think you saw you're going to lose a lot of acres out west. Here in the south and in southern Illinois, Indiana, you're going to see wheat and come back with beans. You know, it's going to be one of these situations. The market's going to be real sensitive, and that's why we're going to have this anxiety up front here. You're going to have your price rally this winter. And if there's no real weather scare, our fear is you could see significant downside price risk as we move into next summer. So we like scaling up, as mentioned, on some sales. There's nothing wrong with getting 10, 20% priced here at these levels. If we go to 450 on corn, beans go to, you know, 10, 11 bucks, you know, sell some more. Probably the simplest thing to do is do a paper strategy with some options. You can, you know, lock in some $4 prices and some $9.50 prices, and you got it covered on paper. If the market goes on up, you say your cash grain higher. If all of a sudden the bottom falls out here and the market goes lower, you've got some coverage on.
Is 2 billion bushels in the carryout really enough given the ethanol usage that the United States is looking at and wants to maintain? I mean, what's a big carry? It seems to me that a big carryout when you're using 2.3 billion bushels, I guess, for ethanol, that you might want to have a little in the tank as opposed to a little more in the tank as opposed to not so much in the tank. And the 2 billion or 1.97 billion isn't that much, really.
When you saw the acres move like they did last year in the market, having the true ability to move acres big time one way or the other, all you can say about a 2 billion bushel carryover is that was enough for this year. And, you know, every year has to stand on its own as you look at things. Another thing that I was picking up here this year as well, too, is some guys talking about, you know, you always talk about wheat and soybeans being double cropped with wheat. We're picking up in a lot of areas where guys are also talking about saying taking a wheat sorghum double crop type of a thing, which is something that really hasn't really played out that much in years past. But, you know, and so again, it's got to be a situation of if you got to let the market evolve as things go on, what the demand says. And I think Kurt brought up a really good point on this thing of saying when you start taking a look at other demand coming, as feed wheat not happening, and all of a sudden you're seeing more corn exports anyway because of that. I do think that worldwide demand for corn, with corn being the cheapest commodity on the board, I do think that you're going to see a tremendous amount of demand out of the corn market.